Walk with me, Lord.
Woo!
That is a blessing. We have the honor of having one of our pastors, our longstanding friends, come along to give what God has given to him to share with us today. But just before he comes up, I just want to remind you all, soon as service is over, after the benediction, we'll see you all next door for those beans and rice and all that other stuff, right? After the benediction, I had the pleasure of meeting Reverend Dr. Michael Runnels and having lunch with his wonderful wife and pastor and first lady yesterday, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful setting. And I see why Pastor had his good friend come on out and give this message. So would you give a round of applause to God for the man that's coming up to give God's word, Reverend Dr. Michael Runnels.
To God be the glory for the things he's done for these past 30 years of my friend and brother, Reverend Dr. Alvin Turnstile, to Reverend Moore and Lady Rosetta. Thank you for the hospitality and for getting to know you by way of phone over the past month. Thank you for your hospitality and all that you've shared with us, and to Lady Sandra Turnstile, amen. We're delighted to see you again after all of these years and all of those children, and now grandchildren. And to the Trinity Baptist Church family, to the leaders of this church, this fine congregation, and to the elders of the church, trustees, and every ministry leader, we greet you from the Greater Metropolitan Missionary Baptist Church in Chicago, Illinois. Your pastor and I share a long-standing friendship, not one that we talk every day, but we've been in touch over these past nearly 40 years. And I'm grateful for his friendship, because some people, they change on you. Reverend Turnstile's been the same since the day I met him back in 1984 or 5. And he hasn't changed a bit. So if you're trying to change him, forget it. That was before he married our lady, Sandra, and had these wonderful children and grandchildren. And it's just a joy. I'm honored, honestly, to be invited, Pastor, here after all these years. And for those of you that don't remember, I preached here 30 years ago. The convention was here. He took my dad and I around, and we toured the campus here at Trinity. How many of you all remember me? Only one. You do too? Okay, all right, three then. Okay, three. 30 years ago, and Pastor Turnstile had preached for us at Pleasant Grove, the first church, and then at Greater Metropolitan, the current church. And it's just a joy again to be in this place and to share 30 years anniversary celebration with him. I'm delighted to have with me my wife of 44 years. Amen. Lady Janetta, who has been with me nearly all my life. That doesn't make me an old guy by now, but doesn't make me a young one either. I want to share with you today from the theme that you gave me to share. I'm certainly impressed by the choir and the ministry of music that you've shared with us today, and the hospitality from each and every one of you. Amen. I invite your attention to 2 Timothy verse 15, the first of your theme. You have it, say, amen. I want to read just a few verses. If you don't have it, say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. All right. I want to read from the Message Bible. Let me begin with verse 14. Repeat these basic essentials over and over to God's people. Warn them before God against pious nitpicking, which chips away at the faith. It just wears everyone out. Concentrate on doing your best for God. Work you won't be ashamed of, laying out the plain and simple truth. Stay clear of pious talk that is only talk. Words are mere words, you know, and if they're not backed by a godly life, they accumulate as poison into the soul. I want to end the reading there, and I want to talk today about the essentials of a minister's walk. The essentials of a minister's walk. To Pastor Turnstill, as a minister of Christ, and after ministering over these 30 years, there are three things you must walk in every day of your life. And to put these up front and to just give us something to feed on, as a pastor and minister of God, you must walk, first of all, daily in Christ. You must walk daily in the scriptures and daily in prayer. These three things are the essentials as you live and minister for Christ in the midst of a broken and hurting world. First and foremost, not only you, Pastor, but every believer, every blood-bought believer must make sure and very sure that our belief in Christ is the right kind of belief. You have to make sure you're absolutely sure that you are a new creation in Christ. If any man, any woman be in Christ, he is a new creation. There is a difference between saving faith and a living faith. A saving faith gives us the assurance that we are a new creature in Christ. We can sing, I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven then signed my name. And we could sing that with the assurance that God has really touched our lives and turned it around because we don't do what we used to do. Think like we used to think. I wouldn't say we wouldn't slip every now and then, but it's not our intentions to do what we used to do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know you've been born again. You know the Lord has his hands on you, but that old man is not going away. I heard one preacher preach, and Jesus and the devil left him, and then he took for a subject, the devil will be back. For us being born in Christ, we must be aware of the reality that we are still human in Christ. We have much to strive for and to reach after, but we have to constantly examine ourselves and make sure that we continue in the faith unless we become disqualified, unfit, and rejected. You must live a crucified life. Paul said, I've been crucified with him. And so Paul knew the dangers. Paul knew the struggles of trying to actually live up to the calling. And he labels himself the chief of all sinners because he persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. And so we have to always walk in Christ and always seek the kingdom of heaven. First seek the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness and live denying self. We were kind of laughing about Pastor Turnstile's car. And I said, is that him in that little BMW? And Reverend said, yeah, that's him. He won't get that kind of car. Well, Pastor's been walking denying himself ever since I met him. He's not trying to impress nobody with dress, cars, clothes, nothing like that. He's the authentic Alvin Turnstile and will always be the authentic Alvin Turnstile, unashamedly so. And because of his firm commitment, my heart looked to him. We met in seminary. Back in 84, 85, and we were about the only two black men in Chicago Theological Seminary. And while I was there, I went over and I don't know who introduced who, but we started talking, and that fellowship and friendship has continued and spanned across these 40 years. But self-denial was evident of his demeanor, his character, and his genuine personality. And so he's been walking with Christ ever since I met him. Now, don't be fooled. He seems all serious all the time, but when he does slip one in on you, he'll have you rolling in the floor. And so I appreciate him being authentic. He has always walked in Christ. He has always been an example. But not only does he walk in Christ, but he walks in the scriptures. You must study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God, not being made ashamed. And so he's never been ashamed of who he is, what he is, and the word of God. He has been always able to proclaim it. I was listening to him on the radio this morning as he preached, and what a mighty fine job he's done. Live by the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Many try to believe that they can be a child of God and live without the word of God. At the first church I pastored, we would have words that the apostle was telling us not to nitpick over. And they would say, now, Pastor, don't pull the Bible on me. And I was young, about 26, full of energy, cocky, and I said, I'm going to pull it every chance I get. And because our answer to each other ought to be the scriptures, because as the Lord said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And it does not matter how prosperous. When you get over into the land, God told Moses to tell the people, and you build living houses you don't build, and you eat off of vines you didn't plant, but you shall remember the Lord, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth. It is because of his enabling power that we're able to arrive at the statuses we live at now to accomplish the things that we accomplish. He gives us power to do whatever it is that we're able to do. He gifts us with the ability to do whatever it is we need to do. So don't forget that everything comes from the Lord. And so it's important to memorize the word of God and to allow it to dwell in your heart and every day of your life to be constant in scriptures and in living as they dictate to us to live in. And so these are the basic essentials that are required not only of the man of God, the woman of God, but of the people of God. And we forget this. We forget it so often. Brothers and sisters, there are a few things. Pastor doesn't like all this long stuff, but if I can give you what I can give you, I had a whole lot of stuff, but I'm not going to dump it on you today. But I want to tell you today, not only that, you must walk in prayer. I've discovered that many of the times in our lives when we hurt unnecessarily, many of the times in our life when we lose direction, many of the times in our life when we lose the comfort and forget about the joy that Christ gives to us, not happiness, the joy, this joy that we have, the world didn't give it to us and the world can't take it. Many times it is because we do not walk in prayer. I don't know about you, but when I don't feel like walking, I say, Lord, give me favor and let me find a parking place up close. Lord, give me favor and don't let me stand in this line too long. And I tell you, if you approach everyday life in prayer, I remember I was in a store and the line was crazy, and a man looked back. He said, that's all you got? Come up here and get in front of me. And put me in front. He said, I got a bunch of stuff. And he allowed me to do that. And I think as we go through life, we ought to go through it with prayer. Hanging on the kitchen wall in the midst of some of the things my wife hung there, we only cook 3 meals here, takeout, frozen, and microwave. She has that hanging above the kitchen sink on one of the soffits running across. And there was a particular plate I bought her, and it was just prior to us marrying. And I looked up and I said, wow, I bought that plate 44 years ago. And the plate had inscribed on it, life is fragile, handle with prayer. I wanted her to walk with me as I walked through this journey, because she married Michael Runnels. And a year later, she found out she was married to Pastor Michael Runnels. So she said, I didn't marry no preacher. I married you. And so that plate caught my attention, and I gave it to her as a gift, but I gave it also as a reminder to me. And Pastor Turnstill, I know you know the basics. You know that these 3 essential walks of a pastor, I know you know what they are, but I'm just here today to celebrate with you and to say happy anniversary and to also remind you of the tedious job that we have to do and what is entailed in it, just as a reminder, because I know you are an astute preacher. I know you are anointed by God to do what you have been doing. And I know you've been making absolutely sure that your belief in Christ is the right kind of belief. I know you study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God that need not be made ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I know you remember the words that Jesus said, man must always pray and not faint. And I know that, you know the Lord's Prayer that the Lord gave to us. It was the model. It was the sample. It was not only to be read verbatim and prayed verbatim, but it was a reminder of how to pray, to honor God as holy. Our Father who art in heaven, holy, holy be thy name, thy kingdom come, to keep your eyes focused on the kingdom work. Thy will be done, to walk in his will and to walk in his way. I do know that you know that lead us not into temptation and provide for us the daily bread and to look to him. That prayer will get us through. And if we walk in prayer, we won't give up. We won't faint. There is a song, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Oh, what peace we often forfeit because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Praying, walking and praying. Prayer should be like breathing. It is something we do. Naturally, how many of you have counted the breaths you've taken today? I used to hear the old saints say, have mercy. I would hear my old Uncle Dent, and I didn't know what he was saying, have mercy about, but he was hurting. Pains was going through his body. And I just thought he was just real religious. Have mercy. Have mercy. And he would say it over and over again. And then I would hear others saying, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. And then I would hear my mama saying, keep me strong, Lord. Keep me strong. And it wasn't, you didn't need to be at church. You didn't need to be in anything formal, but just a means of doing what you always do because you're trusting in the Lord because he brought you. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. And out of the five charges that Paul gives to Timothy, this young timid individual, this fifth charge reminds him to remind the church of the dangers of words and the foundation of God. Put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words, but about which are to no profit, but about the severity of hearing. So study to show thyself. Study until you get tired. I've seen Todd Seale so tired. I said, man, what are you doing? You gonna kill. Study until you exhaust yourself. The text is basically saying. And sometimes when you see your pastor weary, sometimes when you see him worn out, he's simply walking in the three essentials, and that is in Christ. He's walking also in the word of God. He's walking in prayer, and he's working to labor to be approved and not disqualified. Because one day we'll all stand before God and he'll have to open the books and what's in there will reveal whether we've been faithful and the rewards that will be given, not up in a sky where they just come from the moon, but in a kingdom on earth that God will establish where the nations will be governed and ruled by Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he'll be the one to pass out the rewards. And if it doesn't pass the test of fire, if it doesn't pass the test of fire, we can be disqualified. Brothers and sisters, after 30 years, 30 is a symbol of commitment. 30 is a symbol that we've matured in a way. And after 30 years, what can we say to a man of God? We can say, keep on keeping on. That too, hallelujah, anyhow. Keep on keeping on. One day, God will call Reverend Tunstall in, and he'll say, I gave you all of these gifts. I gave you the gift of compassion. I gave you the gift of love. I gave you the gift of understanding the word of God. I gave you the gift of love. And he's going to ask, what'd you do with it? Answers will come from other people. One will say, I buried it in the sand. Others will say, I put it to the exchange. And he'll say to the one that put the talents to exchange, well done, good and faithful. So he'll say to the other servant, you didn't do what I told you to do. Yes, you start judging me, but you should have been working faithfully. And then he'll look at Reverend Tunstall, and he'll say, I gave you five. What'd you do with them? He said, I worked from sun up to sundown. I worked when I didn't feel like it. I worked because I knew that one day I'd have to answer to a Christ. I knew that one day the word of God would take up seeds. I worked because I knew that only what we do for Christ will last. I worked because I knew you were a faithful God. I worked because I knew that your word is all of my trust. I worked because I knew that if you pray to God, he's an able and a prayer-hearing God. And because he knew that you're a prayer-hearing God, you heard me days past and gone. You heard me when I was up. You heard me when I was down. And today, this morning, this is nothing compared to what God will do. But when the saints of God have gathered home, we'll be able to wave palms of victory in our hand. I see Pastor Tunstall in a number that no man can number. Coming from the east, west, north, and the south. And I hear John asking the question, who are these with palms of victory in their hand? I heard him say, these are they that come from the east, the west, the north, and the south. These are they. Have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. These are they that have done their very best. These are they that are able to rejoice with the heavenly host. I leave you this morning, but keep your hand in God's hand. One of these days, he'll say to you and you and you, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, walk with me. You walked with me. Well done, you prayed to me. Well done, you kept the word in your heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Walk on. I said walk on. We cannot see in the future. We cannot see through dark clouds. We cannot see through darkness. But walk on by faith. On a Monday, walk on. On a Tuesday, walk on. Let Jesus be your guide. He's able, able to see you through. Yes, yes. If you die with him, Jesus said, if you die believing in me, you'll never die. If you live believing in me, you'll never die. If you live believing in me, you'll never die. And if you die believing in me, you live again. And as Jesus was raised the third day from the dead, if we keep these three essentials, if you walk with Christ, if you walk in his word, and if you walk in prayer, he will keep us. He will raise us up as God raised him from the dead. God bless you and keep you.